Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. Are you delighted to be here?
Yeah.
Good on you, Matt. Hey, I've had two seasons in my life that have been really, really, really hard. You just say only two, but just two really significant ones. And one of them was when I was about 23. I won't go into what the context was, but I remember each morning I'd wake up and I'd feel this pain, just emotional pain. And during that time, I decided to get into the Psalms. You know, the Psalms talks a lot about being, you know, he's my rock, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my tower of strength. And I came out of that season believing in my heart of hearts that God was strong and he was my refuge and he was my fortress. And I want to encourage you today that if by any chance you're going through a really, really tough time or life is pretty hard, I'd encourage you, get into the Psalms. Because it is quite significant what God can do in your life when you're going through a tough time. It's often, God is an opportunist. He uses everything. And so if you're going through a tough time, can I encourage you, look up words like rock and strength and fortress, and over time as you meditate on that, that will be who God comes for you. In pressure, God forms us. And so that has nothing to do with what I was going to say today, but I just wanted to encourage you that. So be encouraged. Hey, today I want to talk to you about, specifically I want to talk to you today about becoming friends with the Holy Spirit. You know, in churches, we often talk about Father God and we talk about Jesus the Son, but we don't always talk about the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes in Baptist churches, we think the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. But it's not. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Given said that, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures because I want to hold up the scriptures high today. I want them to be our grid. I think sometimes what happens in life, where we start off holding the Word of God up high, is the thing that we go to shape our theology, and it's the thing that we go to shape what we think about Jesus and who Jesus is and things like that. But over time, what can sometimes happen, our experiences can begin to shape our theology. Or our experiences can begin to shape what we think about Jesus. And so instead of holding up the Word of God high and meditating on the Scriptures and having it as part of our lives, what happens is eventually our experiences become the things that we hold up higher. And our experiences shape our theology. And our experiences can shape what we think of Jesus. And we need to be followers of Jesus who hold the Scriptures up high and say, this is the benchmark. This is what I cling to. This is the truth that I hold to. So today I want to spend considerable time just looking at different Scriptures as we talk about what does it mean to become friends with the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 7, there's this statement. It says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, I will send him to you. I love this because Jesus is actually saying to his disciples, hey guys, it is actually better if I go away so I can send to you the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Jesus is God. He's the greatest disciple maker that there is. And in this scripture, he's saying, it is better that I go away and leave you the Holy Spirit. That's quite significant because it raises the stakes. It at least raises the expectation of the role that the Holy Spirit is supposed to have in our lives. It is better that Jesus leaves so that he can send the Holy Spirit. I sometimes wonder if the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is like a second thought. Or at least we play it down a little bit. But not in this scripture. In this scripture, it's actually saying, Jesus is saying to his disciples, it is better if I leave so I can send you the Advocate. So John 16:7 says, he says, Jesus is going to send the advocate. In other words, he's going to send the counselor or the comforter or the encourager. John 14:26 says this, but the Father will send you the advocate. And again, it says in John 15:26, I will send you the advocate. So Jesus is painting this picture that is actually better that Jesus leaves and gives us the Holy Spirit, because he wants to send to us the advocate, the one that's going to be our counselor, the one that's going to be our comforter. It's good news. This isn't saying that the Holy Spirit is better than Jesus. It's not saying that he's more God than Jesus, because in John 14:16-17, it says this, and I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate. In other words, Jesus is saying, I've been that advocate. That's me. I've been your comfort and your counselor, but now I want to send you another advocate. And in that verse, it goes on to say, and he will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. Jesus is saying to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is around you, but there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit is going to live in you. God in you. That is profound. God in you. So the Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit will never leave us. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. John 14:26 says this, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, listen to this, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. John 16:8 says this, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of his coming judgment. John 16:12-13 says, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 15:26, but when I send the Advocate, the Spirit of truth, he will come to you from the Father and he will testify about me. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he is the one who will remind us of what Jesus taught. He's the one that brings conviction. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit reminds us about who Jesus was, because the Holy Spirit's main goal is to point us to Jesus, and he reminds us about what Jesus said, what Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our counselor. And then we have in Acts 1:4-5, and I love this, says, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The number one priority for the disciples after the resurrection, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, the number one priority was then for them to wait until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Before any work is done, before any mission was done, they had to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So today I have two questions for us. Do we see that the Holy Spirit in us is as significant as if Jesus himself was personally with us? That's a challenging question. Do we see that the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is as significant as if Jesus himself personally was with us? And the second question is this, how do we cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit? How do we cultivate a friendship
with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just visit us. The Holy Spirit isn't just into visitation. You know, the moments in worship or singing songs, and we worship and we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's visitation. Or we can be in the car and we're just singing out, worshiping God, and we feel His presence. It's like a visitation. Or we can be spending time with the Lord and we sense a visitation from the Holy Spirit, and we feel His presence, His joy, His love. The Holy Spirit doesn't want just visitation. The Holy Spirit wants habitation. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to visit us. The Holy Spirit wants to abide in us. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says this: "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of God be with you. And may the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all." May you know God's grace through Jesus. May you know God's love through the Father. But then it says, may you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This word of fellowship is the word koinonia. It's far more than just simply a friendship or a social thing. It is like this intimate partnership that you have with the Holy Spirit. My friends, I want to suggest to you today that God longs for us not to have just visitation. He longs for habitation, where you and I cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit, where you and I cultivate a habitation where the Holy Spirit comes and you have fellowship with Him. We often talk about the Father. We often talk about the Son. But we don't often talk about the Holy Spirit. So how do you cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Ephesians 4:30 to 32, and it says this: "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." I think the first thing that we need to do, if we are going to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit, is that we need to understand that the Holy Spirit isn't some distant force. He's not some impersonal power. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And if you can be grieved, it means this: that you care deeply about something. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. So in other words, the Holy Spirit isn't just this distant force or impersonal power. The Holy Spirit is intentionally loving you, fully engaged with you. He can be grieved because He cares deeply. He is personal. We need to know that we know that we know that the Holy Spirit is personal. He's not just this force, not just this impersonal force out there, but He is intimate with us. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit that lives in you? Do you speak with Him? Do you have conversations with Him? Do you worship Him? Do you acknowledge Him throughout the day? I have learned over the years to talk to the Holy Spirit as much as I talk to Jesus the Son. I've learned over the years to talk to the Holy Spirit as much as I talk to the Father. When I catch up with people and I'm sitting across people and we're doing coffees, the most common prayer I pray is this: Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak. When I'm reading the scriptures, one of the most common prayers I pray is, Holy Spirit, open up your scriptures to me so I can understand them. When I'm in the car and I'm worshiping God, I deliberately do this: Holy Spirit, I worship you. I am called, you are called to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing we need to do that, is know that He is personal. Let me remind you what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us. He teaches us truth. He reminds us of truth. He leads us back to Jesus, who Jesus is and what Jesus teaches and does. He is our advocate and He convicts us. The Holy Spirit is a divine person and plays a key role in our lives. Ephesians 4:30 goes on to say, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." Do you know, in the ancient world or biblical times, the word sealed means to mark ownership. That what would happen if they would have a package that belonged to someone, you'd seal it with a signature that said, "This package belongs to so-and-so." So in this scripture, it's actually saying this: the Holy Spirit is the seal that you've been marked with that says you belong to God. That's how significant it is to have the Holy Spirit in you. It is the seal that marks you as belonging to God Himself. I don't know anything about the spiritual realm, angels and demons and all that stuff that's happening around us. But I do know this. I reckon as you walk through life, angels can look at you and go, that person belongs to God. That person belongs to God. Why? Because it says the Holy Spirit is your seal. You belong to the King. And the Holy Spirit is your seal of that. I don't know about you. But when I realize that, I want to say, come, Holy Spirit. I want to say, have your way in me. You are my seal. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit is not this added extra if He fits into your theology. He's not this added extra if you approve of it. He's at the center. The Holy Spirit is not a part of your life if you approve of it or if He fits into your theology. He is at the center because He is the seal that you belong to the Father. And I don't know about you, but when I know that the Holy Spirit is my seal, I want to say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. And then Ephesians 4:30 to 32 goes on and says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." And then it says this, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." So first of all, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He can be grieved. Second of all, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is your seal. He's not an added extra. He is at the center. But the third thing is that we need to know is this, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit through different relational behaviors. The way we treat one another can be one of the things that stops us from having a friendship with the Holy Spirit. It says, get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all brawling, all slander, along with every form of malice. And then it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. This scripture is actually God's reminder of His commitment to us. Like Paul's logic here is that, first of all, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now live a life that honors you and honours the Spirit that has been sealed you. I believe this passage is talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks of the very thing that can stop that relationship, and that's the relationship that we have with one another. How significant is our relationships with one another that it can be the very thing that grieves the Holy Spirit? I actually think to ask the question, how's my friendship with the Holy Spirit and how's my love for one another going, are two of the same question. It's that closely linked. So how are you going at getting rid of bitterness? Are you got bitterness growing in you? Anger, unforgiveness, slander, gossip. In spiritual circles, we often hide that with prayer. Are you kind and compassionate to one another? Are you forgiving each other? Because the Bible is very clear about the Spirit's role, and He wants us to have fellowship with the Spirit. But we need to know the Holy Spirit is very personal. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit is your seal. But the Holy Spirit says, you build friendship with me when you have your own relationships with one another strong. How are you going in your heart towards people? This sounds like a strange example, and I do that. I do strange. But my dad growing up, my dad and his wife looked after my dad's wife's family a lot financially, cared for them deeply, financially supported them. And then my dad said to me one day, he said, Cam, we've cared for my wife's family a lot. When I pass away, you'll get the inheritance. Cool. What's happened over the years is my dad's passed away and there's been a broken fracture in my family, which means that I probably won't inherit the money that my dad has said I'd get all along. But let me tell you now, there is no room for bitterness towards my family about that. And you could be sitting there and you're not getting your inheritance or something's happening financially in your life. And I want to say to you now, the Holy Spirit would say, you grieve me if you get bitter about that. My friends, please hear me. God wants us to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, to have fellowship with Him. But we need to know that He's deeply personal. He can be grieved because He's not some distant, powerful thing. He's personally involved. We need to know that He's the seal that tells us that we belong to God. And we need to have our relationships with one another going strong and healthy, because that can hinder our friendship with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, it says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Bible says you're evil, I am evil, but we know how to give good gifts to our children. He says, then how much more does God want to give us the Holy Spirit? So I want to encourage you. Start talking to the Holy Spirit as much as you talk to the Son. Start talking to the Holy Spirit like you do to the Father God. Start inviting Him into your conversations when you're talking with people. When you're opening up the Word, invite the Holy Spirit to come to open up the Word to you. Worship Him. Celebrate Him. Thank Him. Ask Him to be involved. The Holy Spirit is not a divine person. He's not an impersonal force. He's a divine person. The Holy Spirit is the seal, and the Holy Spirit wants us to have healthy relationships so it does not hinder our friendship with Him. I believe in spiritual gifts. I believe in the practice of spiritual gifts. I really, really do. But I believe that this scripture that we're talking today is the foundation of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it comes before we talk about gifts. Why? Because character is more important than gifts. character is more important than spiritual gifts. How are you going in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you love him? Do you talk to him? Do you involve him? Do you invite him into your life? May we be a church that doesn't just talk about the Son, and may we be a church that doesn't talk just about the Father, but may we be a church that endeavours to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because he's your seal. He marks you. You belong to the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand. Father God, we stand today just to declare that we want to be a community of people that invite you in, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you say you are the teacher, you are the counsel, you are the God who leads us into truth. You are the God that convicts us. We need you, Holy Spirit. And you long for us to have a relationship with you. So teach us to do that. Teach us to walk with you, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Cam. I want to do something a little bit different so you can sit down. Yeah, as I was sort of thinking about what we wanted to do this week, I felt like at the end of the service, we normally sing to respond to what we've heard. And I thought today we might actually create space for God to respond to us and the Holy Spirit to respond to us. And so we're going to sing a psalm, Psalm 139. I believe the words will be on the screen, but if not, feel free to follow along. But what I want from this space is just for you to properly get comfy, properly shut every other thing down in your mind. I don't know about you, it often feels like we've got 20 tabs running in your computer screen and it's all a bit messy. So I really want this to be an intentional moment where we just close the system down and make space and make room for the Holy Spirit to either introduce himself to you for the first time or be present in you again and renewed and refreshed. And I just want you to focus on, you know, what he looks like, what he feels like in you, how he moves in you, to just set the posture for this week as we go about our week so that we can channel our mind right now to be with the Holy Spirit and create that friendship space. Please feel free to just reflect as we sing.
Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, Lord? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become like night all around me. Oh Lord, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as a light for you. Created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Precious to me are all of your thoughts, Lord. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. The grains of the sand. When I awake, Lord, when I awake, Lord, I am still with you.
Father God, I just thank you for such wonderful truth. No matter where we go, no matter what we're going through, you are with us. that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We hold on to that truth. We take that truth with us. And Holy Spirit, we ask, would you grow that truth in us that we would know, that we'd know, that we would know that you are with us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be our friend and to have fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, just thanks for coming today. If you would like to have some prayer, if you'd like anyone to pray for you, we'd love to be able to do that. You can come to my left where the couches are. We'd love to sit and pray for you. Just want to encourage you, if you have a friend who might want to do Alpha, someone who's seeking God, or you yourself might want to do Alpha because you think, hey, I need to get some of the foundations right with my faith, why don't you come along? Just see me at the end and we'd love to do that. Hello. God bless you, my friends. Have a fantastic week.